Chapter 31. Warm, cleansing water. A week and a half had elapsed since four members of James's family had requested baptism. After deciding to wait until Peter and Jessica could be back to witness the event, the special evening had finally arrived. "What a busy time we've had," Sandra reflected, as she waited in the courtyard for James to take her to the baptism. She had worked with Derek and Alan from 8 till 6 every weekday to maintain all the gardens and lawns. Not only had she been busy gardening, but true to his word, James was asking lots of questions from pastors near and far, and he had taken Sandra everywhere that he went. Early on in the previous week, they'd visited the pastor of the church that James used to attend. It had been an interesting experience, and Sandra had welcomed the opportunity to hear another side. She'd been most surprised, however, when the pastor had spiritualized so many passages that seemed clearly literal. James had printed off Peter's manuscripts and given them to Sandra to read. They were lengthy, but very helpful, and had given them both plenty to discuss. On the weekend, she and James had attended a Bible convention that some friends from his work had invited him to up in the Cape Breton area. The scenery had taken her breath away. The highlands were just that, rugged and very high above the sea, covered in thick green grass with unusual wildflowers and so many birds. Everyone at the convention was friendly and welcoming, especially James's friends from work. The talks had been Bible-based and very helpful in practical ways. However, when she and James had asked questions of a doctrinal nature, neither had been satisfied by the answers they had received. Many people simply wanted to reason things out from their own logic and opinions. Only a few knew where to find a Bible passage to support what they believed. However, one of the few Bible passages that had been given in support was still disconcerting. Sandra hoped James had talked to Andrew about it. If not, they were supposed to meet with Andrew and Lisa on Friday night, just as they had the week before. When there had been no meetings to run off to, Sandra and James had spent time together in the manor lobby. "It's just the perfect place," Sandra thought to herself with a smile, as she watched a small fishing boat chug noisily out of the harbour. Swarms of seagulls were hovering above, hoping for some remains of the catch. "Hardly anyone else ever uses the lobby. It's quiet and comfortable, with great lighting, and we've had so many good talks about everything, our past lives, our futures, and all that we're learning." She laughed at herself. 3 months ago, I wouldn't have dreamed that sitting in a lobby discussing the Bible would be something I'd look forward to so much. She checked her watch, hoping James would appear soon. At last, a tall, familiar, wonderfully familiar figure emerged from the doorway, and Sandra's face lit up. "Hey, beautiful," he called out. "Hope you haven't been waiting long." With a careless shrug, she inquired lovingly, "Did you get something to eat?" James smiled down at her. "Don't worry, I had a big lunch. I'll be fine till afterwards." "I made you a sandwich." James laughed appreciatively. "I'm one lucky guy. You were gardening all day. You had enough to do." Nevertheless, he was more than happy to receive the chicken and tomato sandwich. As they were driving out to the meeting hall, and James was munching on the first half of his sandwich, Sandra asked about the Bible verse she had found hard to understand. "Did you talk to Andrew today about that passage in John?" "I did," James smiled, turning onto the highway. "I called him up on my lunch break." Sandra opened up her Bible and turned to John chapter 14. "You want me to tell you the answer right now?" he chuckled, picking up the second half of his sandwich. "Is there one?" "Read it out to me again," James requested. Sandra read, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." "Well," James began, pausing in between bites of his sandwich, "apparently the word for mansions simply means an abode or an abiding place. Jesus is saying that the Father has many abiding places for us. In other words, there's enough room for everyone. While Jesus is in heaven now, he's arranging all the future plans for his kingdom." Glancing quickly over at the Bible on Sandra's lap, James asked, "When does he say he will receive us to himself so that we can enjoy those places?" Sandra looked at the verse carefully. "I will come again and receive you to myself." She looked up at James with a smile. "Of course," she said, wondering why she hadn't seen this before. "It's quite clear. He's talking about when he returns to the earth to give us places in his kingdom. And since he's going to stay on the earth when he returns, James continued, slowing down to exit the highway, then we'll all be together here, here on earth. It really is simple, isn't it? Sandra smiled. James nodded as he finished off his sandwich. It's all beginning to make a lot of sense to me. I'm not sure why I didn't see it before. Pulling up to the hall, Sandra noticed that many cars filled the parking lot and lined the road. They drove past a bright red Mustang that was just like Brett's. Had Andrew contacted him? Parking on the side of the road, James and Sandra wandered over to the small white meeting hall. The service was almost ready to begin. Stepping inside, Sandra realized there was only standing room at the back. Where are all these people from? She wondered. At least half the audience was unfamiliar. Looking around, she could see Peter and Jessica up in the front row, next to the rest of the Bryant family. Brett and his girlfriend were only a few rows behind. Sorry I was late, James whispered close to her ear. I guess we missed out on seats. That's okay, she whispered back with a smile. At least we're here together. The service began with a friendly welcome to everyone and an opening hymn, prayer, and a Bible reading from Romans chapter 6. Then Craig Simons was called upon to give the talk. He's had a lot to do lately, Sandra considered, but this must be a very special day for him. I know how close he is to Peter's family. It's wonderful to see so many faces this evening, Craig began. You've chosen to witness a very special occasion, one that would be completely overlooked in this world, but is the most important moment in the life of a believer. Tonight, four members of the Bryant family are making the decision to choose life, eternal life, to turn their back on sin and its wages of eternal death, and to find grace to become heirs of the promises that God will very soon bestow. With emotion, Craig described how fond he had become of the Bryants. So much so, he said with a wink in Jessica's direction, that I convinced my daughter to marry one. There were a few light laughs from the crowd, including Sandra. Most knew that Jessica hadn't needed any convincing. Craig went over some of the passages that were now becoming so well known to Sandra, the forever promises. He talked about the promises to the Old Testament faithful, that Abraham and his descendants would inherit the land forever, and David's son would sit on the throne forever, and that this all primarily revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned to Galatians and showed that God has invited everyone to share in these promises by doing what the Bryants were choosing to do that night, understanding the gospel message and being baptized into Christ. Forever now had a new meaning to Sandra as she stood beside James. It's God who promises forever, she thought, and only God truly means life that never ends. Reading the words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Craig demonstrated that Jesus had said, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Today, he said, looking towards the Bryants from where he stood on the stage, "You are choosing to be born of water. The Spirit has already begun its work to bring you to this birth, as you've allowed God's word to mould your lives and change your thoughts to his." When Craig turned to Romans chapter 6 and read the first 8 verses, Sandra began to fully understand what baptism was all about. Craig told the audience that just as circumcision in the Old Testament had been a sign of a covenant made with God, baptism is the New Testament covenant with God. Baptism is a symbolic identification with Christ's sacrifice. Going down into the water, the believer symbolically demonstrates that they are choosing to put to death their sinful desires, just as Jesus crucified the flesh with all its affections and lusts, both in his life and on the cross. "Our old man was crucified with him," Craig read from Romans 6, "that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." As you see them enter the water this evening, Craig told the audience, realize that they are choosing to give up their allegiance to the kingdom of sin. Tonight, they will be set free from themselves, from their old master, sin, who only pays wages of death. As the water passes over them, Craig continued, God has promised to see this covenant they are making in identifying themselves with his Son, Jesus Christ. He promises to wash away all their sins. Those sins will be gone, forgotten, as though they had never been. And then, Craig smiled, when you see them come up out of the water, remember that Jesus rose again to newness of life. From this day on, they have chosen to give their lives to be servants of God, to be citizens of the coming kingdom, to live for God's will, His purpose, and His desires. With an encouraging smile, Craig looked once more at the Bryants. He quoted directly from Romans chapter 6, "Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." "Will you fail?" he asked them rhetorically. "Yes. Sadly, at times we all forget we are no longer part of the kingdom of sin, and we do things we regret. Always remember that because of your identification with Christ tonight, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." After Craig was finished speaking, the Bryants were given time to head out and prepare for baptism. When they were ready, everyone else filtered outside to walk to the edge of the lake. Having stood near the door for the whole talk, Sandra and James were now in front of the crowd. Sandra could see Jessica by the edge of the water with some of Peter's family. Andrew was the first to be baptized. Since Peter was going to baptize him, they were both already wading in. Seeing Sandra and James, Jessica came towards them. "We were saving you seats at first," she whispered, "but there were so many guests from the church where Andrew was once the pastor, we eventually gave them up. But come," she encouraged, "come, stand here with us." The whole family was together by the lake as a glowing red sun sank slowly in the sky. James reached over and took Sandra's hand. There were still many people coming across the lawn. With a smile, Lisa asked her husband quietly, "What's it like in there? Is it cold?" Andrew was shivering just a little, but he laughed. "It's warm as a bath, sweetheart. You'll be fine." "I hope it stays warm for a few months more," James remarked softly. Andrew heard him and looked up. "You and your evasive comments," he smiled, shaking his head. "I'm going to hold on to that one." Sandra was pleasantly surprised by James's remark and looked up as well. He didn't return her look, but he did squeeze her hand. At last the whole group was gathered around the shoreline. The sky was turning quite pink and little crickets were chirping noisily. When Craig moved close to the edge, a hush fell over the crowd. He said, "Let us pray," and everyone bowed their heads. After giving an appropriate prayer for the occasion, Craig asked Andrew directly, "Andrew Bryant, do you believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ?" Andrew gave his firm assent, and Craig said, "With this confession of your faith and before these witnesses, it is with great joy that I command you to be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Peter completely immersed his brother into the water and then brought him back up. Andrew's face was radiant as he spotted and wiped the water from his face. "I've been set free," he rejoiced. Then embracing Peter heartily, he chuckled, "And now we're brothers in Christ." Andrew and Peter both stayed in the water, and Andrew baptized his wife in the same way. Then Andrew baptized his mum, and Peter baptized his dad. Each time the same questions were asked, and the same responses given. Sandra watched carefully, remembering Craig's words about the death and resurrection of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Jessica had plenty of towels to hand out to everyone who came up out of the water, dripping wet. She threw her arms around each one of them, even though their wetness was soaking through her cotton sweater and skirt. It was a very happy time. "You're drenched," Peter laughed, the last one to hug his wife, "and you didn't bring any clothes to change into." "I don't mind," she smiled. "It's warm, cleansing water. It's brought our family into Christ, and I'm delighted to wear it." "Warm, cleansing water. All our sins forgiven," Sandra considered as the crowd moved away towards the hall, and she and James stayed watching his family hug and congratulate one another. The prospect of forgiveness was wonderful. Looking at the pond, she saw the pink water still spreading out from the center in slow, wide ripples rolling right towards her. What a difference from that frigid black water in May, she thought with a shudder, water that was all too ready to welcome a death, but completely inept to give birth to life. Unknown to James or to any of the others, Sandra looked up to the evening sky where the first star had just appeared and breathed a silent prayer of thanks. regardless of her brother's lack of care, or whether or not James would ever commit his life to God and to her. No longer did she have a sad, lonely existence with candy floss dreams and broken promises. She had been invited to a royal wedding, a forever wedding, planned for thousands of years and promised by the most faithful of all, and she, Sandra Marie Carrington, fully intended to accept. God, she spoke inwardly, thank you so much for inviting me. I want to accept with all my heart. I do want to come to the banquet. Unknown to Sandra, the tall man standing close beside her, clasping her hand firmly in his, was praying as well. Heavenly Father, please forgive me for the way that I've treated my brother, he begged, and thank you for giving me time to learn about the promises you've made to the world and the response you've asked us to make. Thank you so much for bringing Sandra into my life. And then he pleaded silently, Lord Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom.